everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report. Today is episode number 40 for February 15th, 2023. And this show, as always, is sponsored by TLBTalk.com, a place where you can go and say what you know needs to be said, and nobody else is going to let you say it. The show is hosted by myself, Roger Landry, TLB, and co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in after I get through this laborious and sometimes boring opening. But I think these are things that need to be said at the beginning of every show. The title of today's show is America, Home of Increasing Tyranny and Disaster. And yeah, we'll get into that rather deep in a few minutes. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country that's increasingly forbidding of these very concepts, thus the need for a platform like TLBTalk.com. The show airs weekly on live on Shake and Wake radio. Our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. Look, I tell you this every week. I'm going to beat it in so that everybody understands it. If you are someone who makes a donation or wishes to make a donation, I would tell you that the most advantageous way to do this for the platforms you wish to help is to figure out what you're going to donate over a course of the year, divided by 12. And the next time you go in to make a donation, take that number you got and plug it in and click the button that says make this a monthly reoccurring donation. Now, why do I say that? Because as I say every week, this allows them to build a budget. And when they have a budget, they know what they can pay for on a regular basis. Thus, they may be able to get services and other things to provide you to make your experience with their platform bigger, better, badder, faster, if they knew for certain how much income they had each month. So do everybody a favor, meaning all of the platforms I just discussed. And if you can, divide what you're usually giving over the course of a year and make that a reoccurring monthly donation. What do you think, Steve? You think that makes sense?
I'm going to start out with do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Imagine if you will.
Yes.
I have a little...
Go ahead.
I just thought of something like 30 seconds ago. I told you on Skype earlier, and everybody in chat knows what happened to me yesterday when my entire computer just shut off. Well, I just come to the realization just a few minutes ago before, just about the time I picked up the radio stream from Annie, that my computer time, I have said this many times to you and people in chat, my computer time has been off anywhere between a minute and a half to 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Yesterday it was off. Well, it is exactly right on time. My computer time is right on time with cell phone time after that little incident. Imagine that, huh?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of divine intervention there. We'll see.
Right.
All right. Look, we've got to roll into this because we have a lot of information to put out today. We're going to be covering two topics, and before we get to them, let me finish this intro. Our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truth, as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. And that, of course, is the sponsor of the show, TLBTalk.com. Information put out on this show will be included in an article on the LibertyBeacon.com, which is our flagship website, tomorrow, Thursday, by noon central, as it is every week, including active links to pertinent data points and articles used to put this show together. If you have questions about where I got my information, you will find the answers. If you have questions as to who has I have gotten this information from, you will find the answers. I will never hide anything from you. If I feel it's important enough to put out to you, then it's also important enough to show you the sources of that information, which allows you to have some faith in what I say. And to me, that's all important. So let's roll off into this show. Again, Eagle's Eye Report, episode number 40. America, home of increasing tyranny and disaster. Well, let's jump into one of our latest disasters, because there doesn't seem to be any shortage of disasters lately. Stephen, do we have any shortage of disasters over the last couple of years?
Of course not.
Of course
not. They just keep rolling at us.
That's it. And it's up to us to catch them and talk about them. And that's what we're going to do. It seems that every week we have little to no trouble finding tyranny or disaster to relate to you. In my 15 years of doing media online or radio shows, I have never seen a time of such availability. I guess we could say we are now witnessing a cornucopia of blatant tyranny and disaster. I don't know if cornucopia was a good word, but it's a descriptive term, and it basically tells you what I'm thinking. We literally have a smorgasbord of tyranny and disaster. So let's get off into one of them that nobody's heard enough of. Have you heard something about it? Yes, you have. Have you heard it on the level it needs to be discussed on? No, you haven't. Okay, let's start with the fact that today our government and their paid mouthpieces, the mainstream media, spend an enormous amount of time lecturing us about harmless Chinese spy balloons, about conservative domestic terrorists, about fake environmental issues, etc., etc., etc. But now that one of the greatest environmental catastrophes in U.S. history has occurred, they're being strangely quiet, as in near silent. You're hearing almost nothing, especially from the two individuals that need to be talking to you about this. Okay? And they're not. Or they're saying so little that you know damn near nothing. How much and when did you hear about the fact that Ohio is experiencing a Chernobyl-tier disaster after a train derailment releases toxic carcinogens into the most fertile areas of America? And this transpired on February 3rd, almost 2 weeks ago. As a matter of fact, it was almost a week before I could ask anybody that I knew anything about it at all. Or if they did know something, they're like, yeah, I think somebody mentioned that, but no, I don't know much about it. Okay? When I say a Chernobyl-tier disaster, let me explain. What is going on in Chernobyl? Well, Chernobyl, they had, you know, reactor meltdowns, and they had a lot of radioactivity being put out into the air. So they basically had to seal it off in a sarcophagus. But even so, a lot of radiation exposed the surrounding territory. And there were, I don't know, animals dying off. There was vegetation that was mutated. There were people that were getting sick. Eventually, they established a pretty wide zone and evacuated everybody from it. Anybody who knows anything about the decay of radiation, it could be between 10 and 20,000 years before they could open up that sarcophagus without worrying about recontaminating the area. So in other words, we're talking about a major disaster that affected the entire surroundings and will continue to affect the entire surroundings for decades or generations to come. Okay? This is what a Chernobyl-tier disaster is. Okay? What we are witnessing in East Palestine, Ohio, is so horrifying that it's truly difficult to put it into words. A hazardous materials specialist, somebody who literally did this for a living, okay, a hazardous materials specialist is claiming that authorities basically nuked a small town with chemicals so that we could get the railroad open again. When these train cars derailed, all right, there was spillage, and it would have been a very extended time to clean it up, take all of the affected soil out, basically, you know, do everything they could to pull all of these chemicals out, it would have been an extended period of time. They would have had to have closed down that section of the railroad tracks. They would have, and the cost would have been quite high. And in order to avoid that, they went in and torched these chemicals. They burned them to get them as much of that out of their faces as possible to allow for the continuation of traffic along that railroad line. Okay, an entire town, home to about 5,000 people, and again, we're talking about Palestine, Ohio, or East Palestine, Ohio, it's home to about 5,000 people, couldn't return home because of air and water contamination, and a reporter on the scene was arrested just for doing his job. In other words, he's in there telling everybody how bad this is. He's in there telling everybody what this could mean. They literally arrested this guy. About 50 cars, including 10 carrying hazardous materials, derailed in a fiery crash. Houses were evacuated after vinyl chloride, all right, was slowly released from five of those cars. Authorities then ignited the gases for a controlled release. They say controlled release. I don't. For a controlled release of the highly flammable toxic chemicals in a controlled environment. They say controlled environment. I don't. Creating a massive dark black plume of smoke that rose so high into the atmosphere, it could be seen for hundreds of miles away. This is controlled release, people. Instead of coming in with a bunch of people in hazmat suits and cleaning up what had been spilled on the ground, sealing the tanks up with what was left in them and hauling them off, they literally torched it to get rid of this stuff now. But it doesn't get rid of the stuff now. All right? Officials warned the controlled burn would send phosgene and hydrogen chloride into the air. Listen to me, people. Phosgene is a highly toxic, colorless gas with a strong odor that can cause vomiting and breathing trouble and much more. As a matter of fact, it's so dangerous, it was used as a weapon in World War I. Yes, let me say that again. Phosgene gas was used as a chemical weapon in World War I to kill enemy soldiers. This is what they released into the air by burning these gases. A byproduct was phosgene gas, which was used as a weapon to kill enemy soldiers. And these plumes of gas went so high in the sky, like I said, and there are pictures online. You can see them. They're not from mainstream media, but you'll see them and videos. These, it looks like a mushroom cloud, and it's jet black. And it contains one of the most deadly gases you could ever breathe in, which never had to go into the air, especially that high and covering that much territory. Something that goes tens of thousands of feet into the air spreads out and falls back to Earth over a much larger area just due to wind patterns or whatever else. But to expedite getting this damn railroad line open again, what have they done? What have they done? Local officials strategically detonated the five train cars with vinyl chloride and other toxic cancer-causing chemicals, releasing them into the air. Again, a byproduct, phosgene gas. In reality, what they did was create a cancer bomb with fallout that could cover at a minimum a 200-mile radius, affecting as many as 30 million people in the worst case scenario, or 10% of the entire United States population. Our population is about 340 million. They are saying here that as many as 30 million people could be affected by this. That's not all. The Ohio River is seriously affected by this, and that provides drinking water to over 5 million people. How many of them are drinking water out of the Ohio River? How many of them even know about this? We've already been told that the 5,000 people, they said, you got to get the heck out of here, have already been told it's safe to come back to your house. That's freaking bull. But that's what they've been told. Meanwhile, the animals in the woods right out behind their house are dropping dead. This guy has a fox farm. He literally raises foxes. He's watching them die. But the government saying it's okay for you to go back to your home. Didn't you tell me, Steve, that almost as far as the East Coast, people were smelling? Because phosgene is a very, very stinky gas.
That's what people are saying.
So what we're talking about when we say this is a Chernobyl-tier disaster is exactly that.
Did you want me to share something I found yesterday? Or
No, I don't want you to tell people what they need to know. No. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I don't think I passed it to Annie, so I don't know if she's seen it. But I have a headline for an article that says, Rail Companies Blocked Safety Rules Before Ohio Derailment.
Okay, you're taking part of my show.
Oh, okay.
But you're absolutely right, because that particular company, that particular railroad company, lobbied heavily against the Transportation Department's request for an upgrade to the emergency brakes on all of our trains, stating they were not adequate. The present day emergency braking system on our trains was no longer adequate. And this company that is responsible for what we're discussing here was one of the companies that lobbied the hardest, literally beat up on the people who wanted to have these brakes upgraded until it went away. They poured money in it till it went away. Why did they pay a lot of money to make sure they didn't have to pay a lot of money? It may cost me $1 million to go out and pay a lobbyist to make sure that something doesn't become a law. But at the same time, how many trains do I own? And these emergency brakes have to be installed at some portion on every single car. They all have to be connected and they all have to be controlled from a specific area. If you have a large train company, you're talking many millions of dollars. And they didn't want to have to do that. There are already experts stating that had these emergency brakes been upgraded on this train and the other two that have already jumped the track since then, there's been two more, if they had had the upgraded braking system, it wouldn't have happened. Or if it did happen, we're talking about something that would have been on a very controllable level, not a Chernobyl-tier disaster. Does that pretty much cover what you were going to say, Steve? Because if it doesn't, go ahead and stick the rest of what you've got in there.
That's okay. It'd take about 2 minutes to put in there, but
nope. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So, according to a new report, the situation may become much more widespread through the Ohio River Basin. Lingering chemicals in the ground, because they didn't go in and scrape all of the topsoil away where the spillage was. Water, meaning not so much the water, because water flows. Eventually, chemicals in the water, especially in a river, which is constantly moving, not like a lake, where the water rarely moves at all, except along the shore. But in a river, it's constantly moving. Where is this contamination? Why would it linger in a river? Because it settles to the bottom in the silt at the bottom. And from there, it may be quite a while where it sits dormant in that sill until you get a massive flooding, one huge rainstorm after another, and the river travels at 3 to 4 times the speed with twice the volume, picking up everything that is embedded in the upper levels of that silt. This could be years, and it's still affecting the local animals because whatever's growing from that soil, the roots are picking this up. Or whatever is in the silt at the bottom of that river could be stirred up anytime we have weather that is outside of the norm. It may be 10, 15, 20 years before we know the true sense of disaster that the Ohio River Basin is facing. How much of this have you heard from anybody? The things I've told you today about a Chernobyl-level disaster and why. The things I told you about today on how widespread this FOS gene and these carcinogenic chemicals that were literally stuffed up in the air to be blown all around the entire Ohio Basin. How much of this were you told by the mainstream media, by Pete Buttigieg, by, I don't know, Joe Bob himself? How much of this were you told? How much of the level of actual disaster I'm explaining to you right now was explained to you? Want to bet your answer is none? Unless you're reading the Liberty Beacon, unless you're listening to what Steve has to say, and there are some other really good alternative media sources out there. And God, I hate that word alternative. I really do. We should be the true media, and everybody else should be the freaking lying media. Have I got that wrong, Steve?
Not that I can see.
And don't get me wrong on this either. Are there bought and paid for alternative media sources? Yes, there are. So do your homework when you go to a platform and you decide whether or not you trust what they give you. Do your homework. Bounce it against a couple that you do trust. Make sure that what you're getting isn't, in fact, word for word from mainstream media or from the Bleeding Heart liberals on Capitol Hill. But I would tell you, what you're hearing today from Stephen and I, you're not hearing anywhere else. You're definitely not hearing in the mainstream media. Yet we have a disaster here that could affect the lives of 30 to 50 million people over the next generation. Over the next generation. Really? Really? Okay. How about, meanwhile, where is Pete Buttigieg? He's our transportation secretary. He should have been right up front telling you all about it, but he wasn't. When this was smacking everybody in that town upside the head and they were all being forced to leave their homes in order to stay alive, he was on a show talking about why there was white supremacy in the people who worked for construction companies. Why are the construction companies out there all white or mostly white? This is what he was actually discussing on a news show while this entire area was being forced vaccinated because the gases that were falling from the sky, which they put there intentionally, were the same gases used to kill Germans in World War I. But he wasn't talking about that. He was talking about white supremacy in the construction world. What? And how many times have you heard Joe Bob step up to say, hey, guess what? This is the worst ecological disaster we have had in, I don't know, U.S. history, basically. But yet, you can't drive a car in California 3 years from now. You won't be able to drive a car that runs off of fossil fuels because it's causing damage to the local ecology or, you know, whatever. You can't do this because it's bad for the ecology. You can't do this. You can't do this. But we're looking at an immediate issue that will affect the lives of tens of millions of people right now. And they ain't saying a word. Does the word hypocrisy pop into anybody's head here? Why isn't Buttigieg and Biden beating this drum every freaking day on every news channel? Why? Why? But they're not. As a matter of fact, they're not saying a damn thing. And the people that are saying it are their minions. And even they are not giving you all of the facts, all of the truth. They're not saying what I said here. They're not scaring the holy crap out of you if you live in the Ohio Valley, that river valley. They're not. They're basically, you know, they told these people it's okay. Go head home. We're going to come in and test your water over the next couple of days. We're going to come in and test your air over the next couple of days. But it's okay for you to go home now. As a matter of fact, one of the people they talked to who works for the government basically said he didn't think he'd be afraid to drink the water there right now. When we've got other people who don't work for the government saying, you couldn't pay me to drink the water. Why are the foxes in my backyard dropping dead? Why are rabbits being found dead all over the place? But it's safe for you to return home. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to say. It's safe for your kids to be home. What? This is your government, people. This is the same government with the vaccine mandates. Right. This is the same government with each and every disaster and tyranny we have seen literally bludgeoning us to death over the last 2+ years. This is another one on a very long list, but this is major. Let me give you the last thing on this, and then we'll jump to a break. Let me tell you something that shouldn't play a part of this. They're going to tell you it doesn't play a part of this, but I'm going to bet you it does. On some level, it does. Okay? East Palestine is a conservative town with over 70% of the population voting for Trump. Did you hear what I just said? What would have happened? What would we have seen if this would have been a liberal town where 70 to 80% voted for Biden? Don't tell me it doesn't make a difference, because we've already seen in several cases where it does make a difference. If this had been a liberal town in, say, I don't know, Western Pennsylvania, which isn't very far from this, I would bet you that you would have an army of EPA individuals in there. I would bet you that Biden would have already reserved $100 million to compensate these people for having to live away from their homes for an extended period of time. I would bet you, I would bet you, I would bet you. But they're never going to tell you that East Palestine is a conservative town with over 70% of the population voting for Trump. And believe me, this hits me a little hard, because guess where I grew up? Ohio. Can't you tell by this Midwestern accent? It's only when I get out and about here in Arkansas, like to Wally World, Walmart, and if I get around people with a Southern accent, I've lived in the South a big chunk of my life, it snaps right in right away. But when I'm not exposed to it, you can hear, and yes, I was born and didn't move to Ohio till I was about 4 or 5 years old. But I spent from kindergarten till the day I graduated from high school. And the day I graduated from high school, I actually went into the Navy the same day. So I spent my entire schooling years in Ohio. I have a lot of friends and family in Ohio, and this hits me very hard. What hits me even harder is the fact that I trust my government. Okay, I'm sorry. I promise you people I'd never lie to you. I'm supposed to trust my government. And this shows me once again that there's no basis for me to trust my government. Are we ready for a break, Steve, or would you like to throw something in first?
Nope, you're fine. We can go on.
I know that. I've been told that several... Oh, never mind. I'm kidding.
All right, be back in 1 minute, everyone.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, and as I say often, and I will say again, go to tlbtalk.com. Now listen to me. If you're not somebody who wants to just have another social media platform where you can, you know, put funny videos on and make new friends and stuff like that, if that's not what you're interested in, the value of TLB Talk goes far beyond that. It gives you the ability to go in and start a group or a blog whereby you can put information out. If you start a group where you can bring friends in and have discussions on a level you know you need to, passing on information you know is vital, that you're not going to be able to do anywhere else. And even if they let you think you can do it, what you find out is that you are so shadow banned that nothing you're saying is getting to anyone. I have almost 10,000 people on my Facebook wall, and nobody sees anything I post. And that's not even a joke. It's an absolute fact. All right, let's move on. That was our first level of tyranny. Okay, East Palestine, Ohio, we're talking about a cancer bomb that will explode and have a serious and detrimental effect on as many as 30 million people or more over the next decade. And it didn't have to be. They could have cleaned it up. It would have been much more expensive. It would have taken longer, but it wouldn't have put millions of people at risk for a vast period of time. This was man-made. The Chernobyl tier level of this was man-made. It didn't have to be. So let's go to another one. Let's go to one we've been talking about for quite a while. Let's talk about COVID-19. Okay. And a lot of the information I'm about to give you comes from a writer that I just read for the first time a couple of days ago. And I'm very impressed at what is written. And that's Finn Andreen. And not everything you're going to hear is from this individual, but a portion of it, my triggering points, basically. Okay. So let's ask a question. Will the political and health scandals erupt into public light? All of the things we have seen, all the things we have been talking about when it comes to COVID for the last 2.5 years, will those who are responsible for the tyranny that never had to happen explode into daylight? There are some signs that some of that may be happening. But will it be snuffed? Let's get into this. The recent revelations surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic in the West are so shocking that it's necessary to first summarize them to keep on track. Secondly, it is important to try to understand why these political and health scandals are unlikely to have the political consequences hoped for by those who wish to see the truth and justice triumph. Today, it's who owns you. Today, it's who owns your government. Today, it's who owns or who holds sway over your government. Whether we call it the globalist, whether we call it the administrative deep state, whether we call it rhinos, whether we call it the uniparty, We're talking about the same thing. All right? Do we know that holes are being punched in all of the stories that locked us down? All of the stories that mandated a killer vaccine, which isn't a vaccine at all. All of the stories which damaged our children and caused more infant death and child death than we've seen in modern history as a result of a pharmaceutical, or as a result of suicides from lockdowns, or as a result of, and I could go on and on. The actual political fallout should have a bunch of these, I don't know, medical professionals and political professionals in prison for life or worse. If you're responsible, and this is what we've already been told, for tens of millions of deaths across the planet that didn't have to be until a forced vaccine came around, or if you're responsible for in excess of 2.2 billion cases of vaccine damage as a result of over 1,200 dangerous side effects that we weren't told about until the vaccines had already been circulating for a while and would have been hidden for an additional 75 years if the court hadn't actually stood up for us for once. Okay. It is necessary to mention, the ambiguous roles played in the origin of the COVID pandemic and its subsequent policies by the World Economic Forum, the wannabe dictators of the planet, like Klaus Schwab, the World Health Organization, a minion of the WEF, the World Economic Forum, the foundation of Bill Gates, who spends a lot of money supporting the WHO, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, put here to make sure you and I, okay, are as healthy as possible. But for the last 2.5 years, knowing everything they knew, are intimately responsible for massive suffering and death beyond anything we've ever seen. How about Anthony Fauci? Anthony Fauci, who absolutely knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what was going on, yet continued to lie in our faces every single day, and others. Recent books, for example, by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which we are partners with his website, and we do share their information, and Dr. Peter Bregan, strongly suggest a nefarious and self-interested globalist influence in this regard. No crap. Let me explain to you again, and you've heard this so many times, you're going to roll your eyes. There are two things that these globalist influencers need in order to bring global governance into being. They need to see all of our governments collapse, and they need to see a vast reduction in the global population to a more controllable level. The politics we're seeing all around us, the mass die-off, I just explained part of that to you. And if you're fully vaccinated, your immune system is all but crippled forever if you've had 4 or 5 shots, meaning you're not going to live to be 80, 90, 100 years old. You'll be lucky to live another 10 or 15 years. The reason for that is you won't die from COVID. You won't die from the vaccine. But with you having an extremely crippled or non-existent immune system, the things that are going to kill you would never have killed you before. And this is global because over 6 billion people have been vaccinated. Would you say they're well on their way to getting both of the things they need for global governance? Destroy sovereignty and our governments globally, and reduce the global population. You are seeing both of them in their beginning stages, some of them even further along. I would say the United States is further along than just about any country because, here we go again, you can't have global governance until you bring the cowboys of the world to their knees. An absolute fact. I did an entire show last week on that topic for RBN. The link to that will be included with this tomorrow. I will give you point by point, showing you the intentional destruction of America. Not a joke. I don't lie. And everything I show you, everything I say to you on that recording, I will back up. And I do. All right. We're talking about something that is absolutely the biggest impact this planet has seen forever. We didn't have 2.2 billion people. It's probably 2.5 billion people by now damaged for life in any world war. Did it exceed 20 to 30 million dead people? Yes, it did. And Mao's reign and Stalin's reign, and you put them all together and you probably come close to 60, 70, maybe even 100 million dead in both world wars, and those two rises to power, probably close to 100 million people. Before this is done, before the COVID vaccine damage is actually done and all the implications of, we will see probably between 5 and 7 billion people die on this planet. I'm not one to exaggerate. I'm not one to pull things out of my butt. And I am one to back up what I say. You know this will be published tomorrow. You know you can go in and leave a comment or a question, and you know I will answer it personally. If I'm telling you something that's making you go, I don't believe that, that's a bunch of crap, you're talking about the wrong person. Ask me. I'll tell you. Okay? In Europe, the allocation of a huge $35 billion contract between the European Union and Pfizer for its COVID vaccine is a simmering political sandwich involving the personal relationship between the EU Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, and her husband, and Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer. The conflicts of interest seem so obvious that a group of members of the European Parliament have publicly exposed them, but so far, nobody seems to care. The lack of transparency surrounding these contacts is stunning. But people are starting to wake up. They're starting to see this and they're starting to ask questions. Why? Okay. Further, Pfizer has admitted, and you've all heard me say this before. Okay. Roger knows what he's talking about. Let's back it up with someone else's opinion. Further, Pfizer has admitted to the EU Commission, remember me saying this, that no tests were done to check whether the vaccine prevents or at least reduces contamination. In other words, can I get it if I'm fully vaccinated? Can I give it to someone else if I'm fully vaccinated? Pfizer admitted they did no tests to prove that you couldn't still get it. They did no testing to prove you couldn't give it to someone else. Then what the hell were they giving you? And why were they forcing you to get it? Why were they mandating it, or we will destroy your life? This won't stop you from getting COVID. It won't stop you from giving it to everybody you come into contact with. But we're going to give you a pass and let you go out and spread it to everybody. And if you don't take it, we're going to destroy your life. This is Pfizer admitting to the EU Commission that it didn't keep you from getting it and it didn't keep you from spreading it. They had never done tests on that, and now we know for a fact it didn't. However, the coercive vaccination policies were largely based precisely on the argument of vaccinating oneself to protect others. I am mandated to get a vaccine so that I don't go out and give it to somebody else. Wait a minute. Didn't I say 500 times over the last year, and didn't I just repeat from someone else that Pfizer admitted they never did testing on whether you could transmit it? But we literally put out mandates not to protect you, but to protect others from you. So you couldn't give it to them. But now we know you could. And there are still places in the United States and across the planet that mandate the vaccine so that you're safe to go in and work amongst others. You're not. You're not. We know that for a fact. So why do they still reign? The lockdown policies enacted across the world were just as scandalous, since a recent study from Johns Hopkins Institute concludes that these policies had little or no effect on mortality from COVID-19. They didn't do anything to help at all. They have imposed enormous economic and social costs where they were adopted, which isn't a big portion of the planet. They have imposed enormous economic and social costs. In addition, many studies and testimonies prove the severe impact of these restrictions on freedom, on the physical and psychological health of the population. How many of our children committed suicide because they were locked in their homes? How many of our young ones, okay, went to drugs and became addicted or overdosed? How many of them got myocarditis or something along that lines and died? How about a few more health scandals? Okay, perhaps the most shocking health scandal in this pandemic is the way in which COVID-19 prevention methods have been concealed or undermined, starting with vitamin D and zinc. It was proven very early, okay, in this coronavirus, which is basically the flu. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't the Moderna CEO say that unless you were extremely old or had several severe comorbidities, COVID-19 was no more dangerous to you than the yearly flu? This came from the CEO of Moderna, who makes one of the mRNA shots. Okay, so they told you, and they severely penalized anybody who talked about vitamin D and zinc, all right, as being a prophylactic. All right. And this was exposed and shown, as well as how about the effects of ivermectin? We knew for a fact ivermectin was phenomenal in taking care of this. But if you even talked about ivermectin, you were, I don't know, shadow banned, kicked off of a platform. In some cases, you may even have been arrested. In a study of a strictly controlled population of 88,000 Brazilian subjects, regular use of ivermectin as a preventative measure against COVID-19 reduced the mortality rate, listen to me, of 92%. 92 out of 100 people that would have died from COVID, just like a lot of people die from the flu every year, didn't. Why? Because they were using ivermectin. Further, there's another doctor in the U.S. and a professor in France that showed preventative effective measures by hydroxychloroquine when used against COVID-19, which even the prestigious Lancet Journal scandalously tried to discredit. When you have one of the most accredited medical journals on the planet telling you you can't use something to save your life that has very little chance of harming you, you instead have to take the most dangerous pharmaceutical ever used on humanity. When they are telling you this, you tell me it is your health that they are concerned with, and I will tell you the truth. You're a freaking moron. But yet, hydroxychloroquine, forget it. You can't use it. Ivermectin, forget it. You can't use it. Vitamin D and zinc, forget it. You can't use it. And if you even talk about it, we're going to kick you off a platform. We're going to seriously penalize you. We're going to take away your medical license. But they worked. And their side effects were 1/1,000 of the vaccine, not of the jab. But you weren't allowed to use them, or you were told they were so massively deadly that you should be afraid of ever using them. when in fact you just flip the entire story over. The hydroxychloroquine, the ivermectin, the zinc and vitamin D were extremely safe. The vaccines, not the jabs, were extremely deadly when compared to other pharmaceutical products. But you were told exactly the opposite, and people are starting to learn that. A lot of people are starting to learn that. And the people who forced us not to talk about these things, the people who forced people, you know, doctors to lose their license because they prescribed that, are starting to say, what goes around comes around. And it's gone around. And it's coming back around. The health scandal continues with the current excess mortality that mainstream media is hardly reporting. The British Heart Foundation indicated an excess mortality currently of 15% compared to the average in the British population. There were 25,000 more deaths in the United Kingdom in 2022 than normal. 22,000 that couldn't be explained other than the fact that they all started happening once the vaccines have been rolled out, or the jabs. Similar levels of excess mortality compared to the period 2016 through 2019 are also noted in Europe, according to Eurostat. This excess mortality is mainly due to cardiovascular causes and is superior to the excess mortality produced by COVID-19 itself. I'm going to make a statement I've made several times before. These are doctors backing me up now. I told you that the amount of people dying from the COVID jabs far exceeded the amount of people dying from COVID-19. That's a fact! But you damn right well better take it if you want to go to work next month, okay? Just take it. Shut up and take it. And give it to your kids. Because how many of you parents know that in the United States now, that's on the shot requirement for your kids entering public school now? The COVID-19 jab is now a required vaccination prior to your children going to public school. So you have to play Russian roulette with your child's life in order for your child to go to a public school. How many of you knew that? Why don't you ask your school and find out? In addition, okay, a significant increase in myocarditis rates among vaccinated young men was measured globally to the extent that the Florida Department of Health asked to stop the vaccination for men under 40 years of age. Hold on. Aren't those the people you absolutely wanted to get this? Because those are the people who are the most social. Those are the people who, I don't know, mix amongst the greatest amount of other people. Those are the people who, if not vaccinated, could transmit this further than just about anybody else. But the Florida Department of Health has asked to stop the vaccination of men under 40 years of age. Oh, my God. The COVID vaccine, excuse me, the COVID-19 vaccine jabs seem to be the cause of this increase in myocarditis because a study of nearly 200,000 adults, this is not a study of 20 people, this is not a study of 200 people, this is not a study of 2,000 or 20,000, this is a study of 200,000 adults showed post-COVID-19 infection was not associated with either myocarditis or pericarditis, meaning the only thing that it could have been associated with was the jab. We are looking today, right now, okay, at a globe that is seeing the beginnings of a die-off. People roll their eyes and they push back and they're like, Roger, you're going way too far when you say that. Am I? I told you. Some are saying 15 million. Some are saying 23 million people have already died from these shots. But there's a big amount of agreement that it's well over 2 billion that have been damaged, most of them for life from the side effects of these jabs. 2 billion plus, I would say close to 2.5 billion at this point. They're not dead, but if they are suffering from, and they can be seen to be suffering from the side effects of these vaccines, what that tells you beyond a shadow of a doubt is that these vaccines are already destroying their body. Remember, you have no more immune system. So what would normally shake off with the sniffles and a cough for a day or two may put you in the grave now. Things like cancer, which your body could have literally beaten easily. Take a look at the rise in cancer across the entire globe in the vaccinated. Listen to me. In the vaccinated. Take a look at the rise of cancer globally. If that doesn't make you want to puke, you're an idiot, or you have no heart or no brain. So when I'm telling you there are at least 2 to 2.5 billion people already damaged, a vast majority of them don't have 30, 40, or 50 more years to live. And there is still force behind people getting vaccinated across the planet, including the United States. We are looking at the second part of the requirement for global governance. The first part of this show, that was about the politics. That was about your taking care of you, keeping you safe. And they're failing drastically to the point where it is seriously helping to destroy America. The second part, the most dangerous pharmaceutical drug ever used on humanity is now popping or rearing its ugly head all across the planet, and tens of millions are dying, and that will pick up very quickly, and billions are damaged for life and will not have a full life. They won't. All right, Steve, I hate doing shows like this, but please tell me what I've got wrong before we leave the air.
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, so you blocked your ears?
No. I haven't heard you say anything wrong.
You haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard you say anything wrong.
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I like doing shows with Stephen is because although Stephen rarely says anything on this show, maybe it's because Roger runs his mouth so much, but that's what I'm here for. But I have discussions with Stephen, and Stephen pop up and tell him if this is true every week before we do this show, and we discuss what we are going to discuss. And we are either on the same page or we find out why we're not, and we move to the point where we are on the same page. Is that pretty close to true, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
So Stephen has a massive input to every one of these shows, regardless of whether you only hear him speak 50 words or less. And I appreciate Stephen beyond what any of you can believe. All right, Stephen, you get the last couple of words, and then let's say goodbye to everybody, because I think I've probably scared the crap out of enough people to call it a day.
Well, I don't know about scared the crap out of them, but you sure got, you got riled up today.
I always get riled up.
Yeah, I know.
This stuff pisses me off. It really pisses me off. It's not an act. You know that.
I know. I absolutely know. So,
okay.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. See you next week.